According to God's word, we have two possible spiritual fathers that we can have, and we're going to be either children of God as our father, or else we will be children of the devil. It's one or the other. The Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 39 through 47, John 8, 39 through 47, this is Jesus dealing with those unbelieving Jews that were disputing with him and his teachings. And so starting in verse 39 of John 8, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So Jesus spoke about that spiritual father, that these ones who didn't believe in him, that were rejecting him, that the spiritual father that they had, and it was the devil and not God. Though they claimed God was their father, he was not, because they were not listening to God and they didn't receive God's son whom he had sent. But clearly from what Jesus says and teaches here, by our deeds and what we do will be revealed whose child we are, whether it is God or the devil. But those are the only two choices or possibilities. And we see that also spelled out in one verse in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John 3 verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now before he even states what reveals whose child we are, it's very clear from the first half of that verse, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. There's only, again, two different fathers that we could have, possibly. One of two. It's either God or the devil. We're either God's children or we're the devil's. And what's going to reveal whose child we are is not by our claims. And we saw that in John chapter 8. There are many who claim to be children of God, but by their works they show, and they are revealed to be children of the devil. And that's what he says here. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, if we are children of God, we're going to do what's right, which is what God teaches us that is right, including loving one another. And if we don't do that, then we're revealed to be children of the devil. So whether we obey God or not is going to reveal whether we're his child or whether we're children of the devil. So, and we could look at many other passages that support that same teaching that is not found only in rare cases in God's word, where he's teaching us that either God is our father or else it's the devil. So those are the two possible spiritual fathers that we can have. And as a result of that, there are two different roads that we can walk on in this life. Two different ways to live. Now, somebody might want to might be tempted to raise their hand and say, well, there are lots of different ways you can live. Well, in one sense, that's true, but it's still going to fall into the category of one or the other. We're either God's child or we're the devil's. And if we're God's children, we're going to do what's right. And how many different ways of doing what's wrong are there? So that's another way of looking at that. But in the end, all of those wrong ways are the wrong way. And that would be the road of following the devil and him being our father. So we have lots of scriptures that teach us that there are two roads that we can walk on in this life. Proverbs chapter 4 is one of those passages that we want to read from right now. And verses 14 through 27, Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 14 through 27, And just as we read in those previous passages that there are only two possible spiritual fathers that we can have, either God or the devil, in this passage here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 27, and with many others, a few that we want to look at, there are only going to be two possible roads that we can walk on. There's not going to be more. There's not going to be a third way or a way to be opt out of these two ways that he's going to speak about it. There's no other possible way. It's either God, God is our father, or it's the devil. We're either going to be walking in his paths of righteousness, or we're going to be walking in the paths of wickedness and unrighteousness, which will reveal the devil to be our father. So here in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 14, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Now he's speaking about the wicked as a group and evil men. And so this is the category of all of the wicked and all that are evil. And how many roads do they walk in? Well, he mentions one path or road in verse 14 that they walk in, and that is of the devil. Now, there are many different wicked ways, particular sins or wicked ways that one may follow, but it's all part of that one road that the wicked are in. So there's only one road there in verse 14 that he identifies as the path of the wicked and the way of evil men. Verse 15, he says, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence." But, verse 18, in contrast, he says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So how many paths are there for the righteous to walk in? Well, here he speaks of the one overall road that the righteous are going to walk in. Now, are there different parts of that right road? Well, yes, just like there are many different parts of the wrong road that one could walk in. There are going to be different parts of the right road, but it's one overall road that the righteous are going to walk in, and there's one overall road that the wicked are going to walk in. And he tells us to avoid and not to follow in that road of the wicked. But instead, we need to follow that path of the righteous. In verse 19, he says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now he's getting into more detail about how we do end up choosing to walk in the path of the righteous, the right road and not the wrong road. It's going to be by guarding and preparing our hearts, because that is where all the issues of life proceed from. It's our spiritual heart that is the source of all those things that we do, that will then identify which of those two roads that we're on. So that's where the work needs to be done in our hearts. But in verse 24, he says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee." And that's part of keeping our hearts, because that's where the abundance of the mouth speaks. Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So that's a great passage that shows us the two different roads that we can walk in, and that teaches us some of the things that we need to do, and what's central to our being able to choose the right road to walk in instead of the wrong road. But those are the only two roads that there are, just as there are only two spiritual fathers that we can have. And they will be the ones that are governing the roads that we're the road that we choose to walk on. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Now, how many roads does he speak about in verse 13? one. There's one road that all these wicked are following, and it's a very wide road. I know several of us were just a couple of weeks ago were in Atlanta. Columbia's getting a lot like this too, but some of those interstates there in Atlanta, how many different lanes are there in some of those ones downtown there? I mean, there are 8-9 lanes. I mean, they have some broad roads, and they seem to lead to destruction too. But anyway, this one that he's talking about here, of course, this being a spiritual road, but very, very broad. Now, how many lanes, so to speak, might be on that broad road that leads to destruction? I mean, there are a lot of different ways that people can follow wickedness. But in the end, if it's unrighteousness, I mean, which road is it? It's all part of that big, broad road that leads to destruction. And those that are on that road, those are the children of the devil. And so then in verse 14, he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And so here's the one straight and narrow way, he says, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So how many different roads are there according to what Jesus teaches there? Just the two. And how does that compare to what we read in Proverbs 4? It's the same teaching. Now, which road is more crowded? There's a lot more traffic on that broad road that leads to destruction. There's few on this straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life. So which father has more children, God or the devil? The devil has got a lot of children, and we must give all that we have to make sure we're not among them. But he has a lot of children. They're all on that crowded road that he's got that's going to lead to eternal destruction. But we need to recognize that there are those two roads. And then, as we read in Proverbs 4, we need to ponder the path of our feet. We need to think about, what road are we on? What are we doing? Where are we walking? What steps are we taking? That's what we need to consider. Romans chapter 5. Is another passage that outlines these two roads for us. Romans chapter 5. In any of these passages that we're looking at here, we could easily spend the entire time of one of our lessons that we have. There's sermons to be preached, entire sermons that can be preached easily on any of these passages that we're looking about concerning these. Who our Father is, what road we're on. Well, Romans chapter 5 is another one of these, but starting in verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it, which, I'm sorry, that's chapter 6, I meant chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now there he's describing that pathway of the wicked. And it started in the beginning with Adam and Eve when they sinned against God and when sin entered into the world, and what also entered into the world when sin entered into the world. He says, and death by sin. Is he talking about physical death there? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about that death that God promised would be the fruit of their sin if they committed that, which they did. When God had warned Adam in Genesis chapter 2 not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. That day. And so that very day in Genesis, that's recorded in Genesis 3 that he's referring to here in Romans 5:12, when they ate of that fruit that was that they were commanded not to eat from, in that day they died. Well, physically they didn't drop dead that day, or we wouldn't be here from that standpoint. They died spiritually. They were separated from God by their sins on that day. And that's the same wages of sin that he speaks about that has passed upon all men from that point forward, not because they sinned, but why? Why did death pass upon all men, including us? For that all have sinned. So he's talking about the situation of that broad road that leads to destruction. Everybody that's on that road, They've all died spiritually because they have transgressed against the Lord. The first that did it in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve were just the first. But when we sin, we're following that road that was established there. And we see what the wages of it are. Verse 13 says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So, again, there is the particular sin that Adam committed. There are many other kinds of sins, not after the similitude of that one, but there are other sins. But all those different sins are all part of that same road of wickedness that has as its wages spiritual death that would identify us as being children of the devil and that will ultimately lead to our spiritual destruction. But then he says there that Adam is a figure of him that was to come. He's literally an anti-type. Looking at Adam, there's going to be an opposite road established by another that was foreshadowed by what Adam did. And that's Christ. So as Adam is the symbol of this road that the wicked follow in committing sin against God, Jesus Christ is the symbol of this road and the leader of this road of righteousness, obedience to God that leads to eternal life. So we're either following the example of Adam or we're following the example of Christ, because we're either following disobedience or obedience. How many roads is that? Those are the two. So in verse 15, he says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigneth by one," and that's by following the example of Adam and sinning against God, he says, "much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." That's by following his example of obedience to God. Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now there's some that twist these words, and we're not going to go into a lengthy word-by-word study from what's in verses 12 through 21. That would more than exhaust the time we have allotted for our study this morning. But we do know that there are a lot of people that even twist the words that are in here, misunderstand them greatly. And there are a lot of people that will teach that Christ's righteousness is given as a gift to any that profess to believe in him. And so therefore, it is not by them doing what Christ did, following what Christ did, and obeying God like Christ did, by which they obtain that righteousness that he speaks about here. But rather, it's all given to them as a gift when they haven't done anything except for believe in Jesus. Faith without works, which of course we know the Lord says is a dead faith. What he's saying here, what he's teaching is, as he plainly states it in verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life." And that free gift part we'll see is in italics. It's supplied. It's not stated with those words there, but the contrast between Adam and Christ, what does he say is the same? As it happened to one, so it happened to the other by the way in which we follow them. Well, how did, as he puts it in verse 18, how was it by the offense of one that judgment came upon all men to condemnation? What did he say in verse 12? That death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the way in which that offense of one, of Adam, became the way of condemnation for everybody else was not that we inherited his sin. It's because we followed the example of it and sinned also. It's in the same way that we obtain righteousness in following Christ. Are we credited with the obedience of Christ when we haven't obeyed him? Not at all. Just as we're not credited with the disobedience of Adam when we because of his sin. We died because we sinned. That was following the example of Adam and what happened to him because he sinned. And it's in the same way as he teaches there that when we follow Christ and we obey God by following his obedience, we obtain righteousness as he did. So there are two roads, and we have to choose which one we're going to follow, and that's going to determine whose child we are. And in Romans chapter 6, 16 through 23, we also see those same two roads that he was introducing there in chapter 5. He's going to expound on that some more in chapter 6, verses 16 to 23. And here it's put in terms of who are we in bondage to? Well, this is another way of reminding us that we belong to one or another. And we're in bondage to either one or another. As we have either one, God is our father or the devil. We're either going to be slaves of obedience unto righteousness, or we're going to be slaves of sin unto death. Verses 16 through 23 here in Romans 6 says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" So how many fathers are there? How many roads are there by Romans 6, 16? Again, it's two. And we have to choose. It's going to be one or the other for us. We're either going to be God's child, and we're either going to be slaves of obedience unto righteousness, walking on that pathway of righteousness established by Christ that we just read about in Romans 5, or else we're going to be slaves of sin unto death, wherein the devil is our father, on that broad road that leads to destruction by following that path of the wicked that was first established by Adam when he sinned against God. So that's tying all of those passages together that we've been looking at. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Can we change what road we're on? Can it be changed who our father is? And the answer to that is yes, and thanks be to God for that. Well, we were all once on that broad road that leads to destruction, and death passed upon all men, he said, for that all have sinned. So we all followed that example of Adam and his disobedience, and so we were all on that same broad road that leads to destruction under condemnation, the devil being our spiritual father. But through Christ, we can now change and then follow the way of the righteous that, of course, Christ is the leader of and is the example of. And so by that obeying that form of doctrine that was delivered to us, where we have Christ and his image revealed to us and the footsteps that he walked in that we are to follow, now we can walk on that road that leads to eternal life. And he says in verse 18 here in Romans 6, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so as there are one of two fathers, one of two roads that we can follow, there's only one of two outcomes that we're going to receive in terms of our eternity. We're either going to have eternal life or we're going to have that eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord in punishment. So all that is set forth in these passages that we are looking at or have looked at so far this morning. But we really want to hone in on one of the ways in which he describes the two ways that we can walk in, and that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So there is a statement of how we should be walking, and if we are in Christ, how we will walk. But we can see again, those are the two possible roads that we can walk in. And it's described here in terms of either by faith or by sight. Well, how many different ways can we walk there? Again, it's one of two ways. So we're either going to be walking by faith or we're going to be walking by our sight. Now, this ties in with all those other passages. If the devil is our father, we're going to be walking by sight. And that's going to be that broad road that leads to destruction. If God is our father, we're going to be walking by faith. And we're going to be walking by faith on that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life. So it would behoove us to understand what it means to walk by sight and to walk by faith, to discern and understand the difference so that we can ponder the path of our feet to make sure that we are walking by faith and that we're not walking by sight. Now, we have a description of walking by sight in quite a few passages in Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. This is one of those passages that describes what it means to walk by sight. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Walking by sight is going to be walking according to the course of which world? This one. And will involve a love for this world. In which case, if we love this world, we cannot love God, our Father. We can't have the devil as our father and God as our father. I mean, that's well established here from our study, isn't it? And he's stating that again. We cannot have two different fathers. It's one or the other. And if we love the world, we're walking by sight. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And all of that is not of the Father. It's of this world, which is temporal, and is not of the Father. So we have to choose whether to love God or love this world. Well, and therein is the difference between walking by faith or by sight. So loving this world and the things of this world goes along with walking by sight. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24. Proverbs 17, 24. He says, wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Where's a fool looking? Fool's looking right here at this world and all that's in it with love in those eyes, because that's what the heart of a fool will do. It's going to be where the eyes of the fool are going to be where the heart of the fool is. In the ends of the earth, a love for this world and the things of it. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, now he brings this to a point with a warning to the young. At which point in our lives should we understand we have one of two fathers and we can either follow God or the devil, that there are only two roads to walk in our lives? What is the right age for us to understand those two things and to then make the choice that we're going to seek to be children of God and follow in the way of righteousness and avoid the path of the wicked and not pass by it and not turn to the right hand or to the left from the path of righteousness? How old are we supposed to be when we understand and decide that? Well, it's not when we are great in age when we should understand and decide that. Now, if one has not understood or decided that in their youth, then when is the right time? Well, of course, as he says there in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, today is the day of salvation. It's now. So if we haven't done it before, we need to do it now and not delay it. But when is the right time? Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, and then the following verse from there, which is chapter 12, verse 1. We see a contrast again. And as he applies this same teaching that we've been looking at through our study this morning to those who are young. Now, the way he's going to put this in verses 9 and 10 of Ecclesiastes 11, when he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." This is not a commandment, this is what you should do. He's saying, okay, do that, which is what is commonly done. And he's going to show, now you do that, here's what's going to happen. And then he's going to show what you should really do. All right, so he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer ye in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." Does that sound like walking by faith or walking by sight? And which way is characterized by youth? What do young people like to do? Have fun. They like to have fun. They want to do whatever makes them happy and have fun that involves this world and its things and pleasures. That doesn't happen when we're older that we get enticed by those things. It's when we're young that we get enticed by those things. When do we learn to love the world and the things of the world? We don't learn that when we get older. We learn that when we're young. We've got to overcome that. That's his point here. So following after our heart and the sight of our eyes and rejoicing in our youth and all the fun that's in this world, that's what young people do. Now what does he say if we do that? And have you ever heard anybody say, just follow your heart? If you really want to understand what you need to do, just listen to your heart, follow your heart. You hear that all the time. What does he say about that right here? Follow your heart. What happens when we follow the ways of our heart and in the sight of our eyes? If we trust in our heart to guide us, where is our heart going to guide us when we're young? It's going to guide us in all these pleasures and a love for this world. And then what's going to happen? He says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So is God endorsing this approach for young people to follow after their heart and after the sight of their eyes and rejoicing in their youth and all of this fun and enticement of this world and its things? He's not endorsing that. He's condemning it. He's warning young people, if you follow that way that everybody else is following, all the young people are doing that, if you follow that natural way that all young people do, beware, because you're going to face God in judgment for it. So what does he say to do instead? Turn away from all that. What is the end of that road and all of its pleasures, all that this world has to offer and all of its enticements, all of that fun that's out there that's so enticing? What's the end of it? He says it's all vanity. I mean, that was the conclusion that Solomon had of all of this. And we might say, well, Solomon, he was just an old fuddy-duddy that didn't know what he was talking about. He really didn't know all the fun that was really out there. To the contrary, Solomon had it all and he lived it all. And it was this one that God gave it all to that God is using to instruct all the young. There's nothing that you can have or you can pursue that could be any more fun than Solomon ever had. And what is Solomon saying about it? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And don't follow those ways. So what is a young person to do? What is a young person to do if he's going to turn away from all of this vanity of this world and all of these enticements of the flesh? Well, verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." When you're young, he says, recognize these two roads. Turn away from this road of vanity, of walking by sight, loving this world and its pleasures. Reject that. Turn away from that. And instead, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Follow God in the paths of righteousness. Be a child of God from your young years and make that decision then. That's to prepare our life then for following Him thereafter. So that's not something to be deferred or delayed until we're older in years, until we grow up in years. The Lord is teaching us to learn this lesson and start applying it in our youth. Now again, if we haven't done that up to this point, if we've been stubbornly walking by sight rather than by faith for all of this time, well, then we need to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, whatever age we are. So whether you're young or old, at this point right now, having seen all that we have about the two fathers we can have, the two roads we can walk on, which is a choice of one or the other, and what the outcomes will be from one or the other, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So whatever we have or have not done up to this point, what is the right day now to choose to walk by faith and not by sight? Well, it's now, today. And this is an opportunity for you if you've not yet done that. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And won't you come forward this morning and be saved? Or I guess we're technically now in the very early afternoon. But now's the time, whether it's late morning, early afternoon, now is the time. If you need to repent and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, now is the right time to do that. If you are a member of the body of Christ, younger or older, if you need to repent of sin, if you've not been following the paths of righteousness as you should, if you've turned aside to the right hand or to the left and need to get back on the right road, if you need the prayers of the church this morning, this is the time to come also. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so now while we stand together and sing?